Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis. So ecstatic, as usual, to have you join me this week. And there is a lot going on. I know I say that a lot, but the truth is, Savage Truth is, that's actually true. And we're going to discuss a little bit more today. For those of you who are new to the channel, I welcome you. Thank you so much for deciding to tune in, to join us, to join me. I appreciate you. For those of you who have always joined, who have been here since the beginning or is not new to the show, I thank you. And I couldn't be able to do this without you. I'm really not interested in doing this without you. Thank you so very much. It's an honor to do so. Whether you are new or returning, I have an ask, and it's always the same. And that is to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review, please, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And we are going to get into this because I have some subjects to cover. Now, again, there is a lot going on, but I just have to say, well, here we are once again watching as Donald Trump secures yet another well-deserved victory in his never-ending battle for justice. This time, it's a lawsuit, ladies and gentlemen. It's a lawsuit settlement involving ABC News and George Stephanopoulos. And guess what? Trump walks away with not just a victory, but he walks away with some money towards his charity of his choosing. Is anyone really surprised? Are you surprised at all? I'm not. After all, the media has spent years launching baseless attacks against him, attempting to undermine his character and credibility at every turn. So when the legal system finally sides with Donald Trump, as they should, shouldn't even be any lawsuits against him in the first place, let me say that, awarding him a settlement, it's a refreshing reminder that sometimes the truth, the savage truth, prevails. And it's about time. It's about time, I say. And the media and its liberal allies face some accountability for the lies that they have peddled, okay? It's about damn time that they face accountability. Now, let's get into this a little bit, okay? As we need to talk about these players, we need to talk about this ridiculous media. And we're gonna end today talking about the overall general distrust of legacy media altogether. But we need to talk about George Stephanopoulos, okay? We need to talk about him for a second. Now, he's supposed to be a respected journalist, and yet, he and his network, ABC News, let me say this again, the network is ABC News. I want to savagely call them out. ABC News have clearly forgotten what unbiased reporting looks like. Haven't been doing it for quite some time, especially since Donald Trump has been in office. I mean, Stephanopoulos, who once had connections to the Clinton campaign, has been at the forefront of trying to smear Donald Trump with false narratives and one-sided coverage. It's almost poetic, okay, that now he has to pay up. He has to come up off those ends. He's got to come up out the pockets. ABC News has to come up out of those pockets, acknowledging that his network's slanted reporting crossed the line into defamation. And that's exactly what they've been doing. That's what they did. And that's what other outlets have been doing, quite frankly. The hypocrisy is glaring. If anyone deserves a reminder that there are consequences for dishonesty, it's these so-called journalists who have spent years twisting the truth to fit their political agenda. Trump didn't let them off the hook, and neither should we. We should not allow them to memory hole any of these lawsuits, any of these circumstances that come up. We should not allow them to memory hole any of the tactics, the antics, the smearing that they have done against us, the name calling, all of it. And good for him. And of course, the media is going to spin this in a very left-facing direction, every direction possible to make it look like some big injustice. But the truth is, the savage truth is, Trump was just defending himself as he should, as any normal person would, protecting his reputation from a constant barrage of fake news. He's had to endure relentless attacks, relentless insults and accusations, most of which have been proven to be outright false. OK, okay, anything but the truth. But when it's time for him to stand up for and demand what's rightfully his, suddenly the liberal media is all up in arms. Now, isn't that rich? That's perfectly fine with attacking Trump. But when the tables are turned, they play victim. This is what they do. The lawsuit settlement is a clear win for Trump, a clear victory for Trump, and it sends a powerful message. And that is this, that no one is above the law, not even the biased media giants who think that they can get away with smearing Donald Trump's name. At the end of the day, this settlement isn't just about money, folks. You have to know this. It's about justice and fairness. It's about a media that actually just goes out and actually does their job, right? And reports the news without bias. Trump didn't take this to court because he wanted a payday, okay? The man is worth between $7 and $9 billion. This wasn't about money. He took action because the media had overstepped, attacking him relentlessly without any merit, okay? This case proves that even the most powerful news organizations can't simply destroy someone's reputation without facing consequences. That's a really important message. It's a reminder that our legal system still works, even when it comes to the powerful elites who think they can operate above the law. Trump's victory here is a win for the people. It's a win for fairness and for holding the biased media accountable for their actions. And finally, it feels good to see justice done, doesn't it? Actual, real justice. And I have a feeling, and what I'm really, truly looking forward to post January 11th is that we're going to see more of this. We're going to actually either see people completely turn away from legacy media and go to outlets where they can have integrous and character-based journalists, actual journalists who just report the news. And that I'm so very looking for. So good news for Trump. Congratulations. Now, we need to talk about Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy and what they're up to with regards to Doge, because they have kind of put out there a little bit about what their first steps are going to be. And I, for one, am extremely excited. OK, this is a bold step for America. OK, but hold on to your hats. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy have just dropped a bombshell that could revolutionize the way we look at taxes in this country. Now, if you're a working person, if you're a taxpaying person, you want to hear this. This is going to make you dance a jig, maybe make you even twerk a little bit, okay? Because their proposal is to simplify the tax code as the first initiative of DOGE, which, of course, the D-O-G-E, which stands for Digital Optimized Government Economics. This is nothing short of genius, nothing short of genius. For too long, and I'm sure so many of you listening to this or watching this and will agree that the tax code for too long has been a labyrinth of nightmares, full of loopholes and hidden agendas and enough bureaucracy to make you want to pull your hair out, okay? But Musk and Ramaswamy with the whole cape and the S's on their chest, okay, have made it very clear. It's time to clear this mess down. It's time to clear this mess and give Americans a tax system that they can actually understand. Now, that is quite an undertaking because I, you know, I'm a business owner, but the tax code, the tax, all this whole, the tax lingo, the way it operates, okay, it's really, really complicated. And I admit that I find it to be a little bit over my head and so very complicated and tough for me to grasp. And let's be honest, okay? Simplifying taxes is exactly the kind of common sense solution that Washington never seems to get around to, okay? They're busy running around making sure DEI is in every organization. They're running around spending money that we don't, well, actually the money we do have, but they're wasting it. They're giving it to other nations. They're putting in unqualified people to push a DEI agenda. And yet they just can't seem to get around to simplifying our taxes, especially for those of us who work, who punch clocks every day. Okay. Now imagine a world, if you could, imagine a world where filling out your taxes doesn't feel like you're deciphering a secret government language. And that's what it feels like to me. But with Doge, Musk and Ramaswamy are talking about cutting through the red tape and getting to a place where taxes are fair, they are straightforward, and transparent. Now, let me say that again. Getting to a place, I can't believe it. Getting to a place, though, seriously, where taxes are fair, straightforward, and transparent. No more complicated deductions. No more headaches trying to figure out which form you need to file, the 401, or I'm sorry, the 106EZ or the 986MZ. I mean, it's just too complicated for me. I can't get it, okay? Just a system, a simple system that makes sense and puts more money, your hard-earned money, back into your pocket, okay? That's the promise of DOGE, a tax code. That's the promise. It's a tax code that works for the American people, for them, not against them. And in a country where 68,000 pages of tax code currently reign, simplifying it is nothing short of revolutionary. Now, what's even more exciting is how this initiative is tied to the innovative forward-thinking mindset of Musk and Ramaswamy. Now, remember, these two are extremely wealthy and they are very, very successful. Elon Musk, of course, being the richest man in the world, and Ramaswamy, respectfully, a billionaire himself. These aren't your typical politicians or businessmen who settle for the status quo. They're here to disrupt and they're here to innovate, okay? This is what is so exciting about these two. And pairing them together is this amazing super team that just will not quit. And their mindset, their focus is the American people and making their lives easier and better and more prosperous. So by simplifying taxes and leveraging cutting edge technology like digital platforms and blockchain, hello, DOGE, they're creating a system that's designed to be efficient, secure, and user-friendly. This isn't just some vague promise, folks. It's a strategic plan, an actual strategic, well-thought-out plan to fundamentally change how the American tax system operates. Now, again, for all of us who pay taxes, and that's all of us, hopefully, okay, this is great news. And here's the result. Less time spent on paperwork, more time spent on innovation, and fewer opportunities for the government to waste our money. Fewer opportunities for the government to waste taxpayer dollars. Do not waste my money, okay? Because I'm out there working hard from the time I clock in to the time I clock out, okay? Don't waste my money. And by all means, if there's extra, give it back to me. Now, for the American people, this is a golden opportunity. Understand that. This is a golden opportunity. The current tax code is a colossal drain on our productivity. And anyone who's tried to navigate it knows just that, how frustrating it can be, how complicated it is. It's just meant to unnerve you. It's just a headbanger. But with Musk and Ramaswamy leading the charge, we're on the verge of a tax system that actually works in favor of the average American citizen. By eliminating unnecessary complexities, we're just saving more time and saving stress, right? Saving our mental fortitude, and we're saving money. And who couldn't use more of that? Even if you're a billionaire, who couldn't use more of that? Simplifying the tax code through DOGE isn't just a policy proposal. It's a full-on game changer for the American economy. It's brilliant what these guys are doing. It's brilliant what they're working on. It's brilliant what they have proposed. It's time to put our country on a path toward efficiency, clarity, and freedom from bureaucratic nonsense. That's the savage truth, okay? The future is here, folks. It's here. It's right now. And it's looking like a whole lot simpler. And I, for one, am extremely excited about it. Now, should we talk about sports? Let's move on to sports because, after all, this show isn't just about politics, even though it gives that impression. We need to talk a little bit about culture. And there's something that happened recently that's got me all riled up and just hot under and bothered under the collar. And it's about Caitlin Clark. Okay. Caitlin Clark shamefully bent the knee to the leftist agenda. Okay. She went on this white privilege rant. Okay. And, you know, I guess I'm not surprised by it, but I just want to point out some, you know, some statements here and kind of talk about what's really going on here. But Caitlin Clark's recent comment about her white privilege in the WNBA. Let me interrupt here. One thing I need for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and his administration to do is to rid up of these ridiculous terms like white privilege. OK, I'm really looking forward to that. We need a whole committee. I'm willing to waste money on just that. OK, but she goes on this rant. All right. About her white privilege in the WNBA. And it's nothing short of a farce. It's an insult to the hard work she's put into becoming a star and a slap in the face to her loyal fan base. Now, for someone who's personally experienced the sting of being criticized for her race in the very league she's helped elevate, it's almost laughable that she would now echo the tired, divisive rhetoric about white privilege. Okay. This is a bunch of black supremacists who are just mad that a white player came along and has some talent and she brought viewership and money to the sport. Now, don't get me wrong. In general, okay, whether you like it or not, the American people are just generally not interested in watching women play basketball. They just generally not. Sorry, but that's just a savage truth of today. Now, let's be clear, okay? Let's be clear. Caitlin Clark has built her career on her exceptional talent, and she does, black people, whether you like it or not or want to hear it or not, she has an exceptional talent as a basketball player. She has dedication, and she has definitely put out hard work. She didn't get where she is because of some so-called privilege, in spite of what she just said. She got there because she earned it, and the fans and viewership she's brought to the WNBA are a testament of her to her undeniable star power. That's what she had. Okay. It's impossible to ignore the impact Clark has had on the WNBA. Since she entered the league, mind you, viewership has skyrocketed, bringing in new fans who would have otherwise been uninterested in the sport altogether. The money has followed as well. Even though WNBA is still operating at a loss, I need to point that out because, again, the savage truth is, in general, most Americans are just simply not interested in watching women play basketball. That's just the way it is. The money has followed as well. No more endorsement deals pouring in and brand partnerships flourishing, right? She breathed new life into the league, making it more marketable and relevant than ever before. Okay, so she did. She got endorsement deals. She had brands soliciting her and partnerships, right? To where unprecedented for the WNBA. She did. She breathed new life into the league, making it more marketable. So when she turns around and claims that white privilege is not only tone deaf, it's an affront to the millions of fans, both black and white, who supported her, not because of her race, but because of her skills. It's as if she's forgotten the very fans who have elevated her and given her the platform she now enjoys. Now, let's not kid ourselves. Let's tell the savage truth here in these moments. These remarks aren't about social justice. It's not what it was about. They were about securing more endorsement deals and currying favor with the league's more radical, race-upset players. Now, Caitlin Clark is in a league that's dominated mostly by black women, okay? And so, hey, she wants to keep her endorsement deals. She probably wants some peace. She probably doesn't want to continue to be poked in the eye and knocked around the courts. So she bent the knee. Caitlin Clark knows full well that virtue signaling about race in today's political climate can get you a whole lot of attention. There's a whole lot of money in race baiting. And more importantly, a whole lot of money in just signaling race, right? The endorsements that follow such comments are no accident. They're a calculated move to align herself with the loudest, most divisive voices in the league. So while the WNBA continues to foster an increasingly toxic and divisive environment, another reason why nobody's interested in watching, Clark's remarks have seemed less like a statement on race and more like a cynical play to win favor with those who would have rather divide than unite. And so finally, it's worth noting that this rhetoric isn't just ungrateful on Caitlin Clark's behalf. It's damaging. It's damaging to the very unity the WNBA should be striving for. Rather than using her platform to bring people together, what does she do? Caitlin Clark is playing to the hands of the league and the league's more radical elements, pitting players against each other based on race. This is not the way forward for any professional sports league, let alone the one that has been striving for greater inclusivity and equality. And instead of focusing on what unites us as fans of basketball, and believe me, the WNBA needs as many fans and watchers and viewers as possible, talent, competition, and love of the game, Clark's remarks threaten to derail the progress made by hardworking athletes of all races. Let's hope she realizes that true success isn't about pandering to the loudest voices in the room. She needs to, at this point, she should have taken the option to really display some courage. It's about staying true to what made her a star in the first place, her remarkable ability on the court, not the divisive politics she's now trying to play. So, too bad for Caitlin. Too bad for her. Too bad for Caitlin Clark. And I want to end this episode in talking so much a little bit about the left-wing agenda, okay? Because I am just pumping my fists in the air. I am tap dancing and doing all kinds of other dances on this win by Donald Trump and ABC and George Stephanopoulos. Now, as you heard, the November 5th loss, it was a sting, okay? Here's the savage truth. Here's another savage truth of this episode. The November 5th loss, it stung them. There's no denying that. After all, it was supposed to be the Democrats' year, right? A sure victory to push their progressive agenda even further down America's throat. And instead, Donald Trump won re-election and the left-wing media is still reeling from the humiliation. We need to be honest about who's really been running this country, Obama, since his two terms, and certainly Biden's two terms, and he was hoping to run it for another two through Kamala, right? We completely derailed that. The American people, to the tune of 70%, derailed that in November 5th. But let's be clear about one thing, folks. These aren't journalists reporting the news. These are left-wing activists dressed in press uniforms, and they have never, ever been truthful. They've never, ever told the truth since Trump has been in office, since he first announced his candidacy. Whether it's MSNBC, CNN, or New York Times, or the Washington Post, the so-called mainstream media has long abandoned the principles of journalism in favor of opinion-based narratives meant to serve as the propaganda arm for the Democrat Party. From daily attacks on Trump to the constant spinning of every event into something that fits their liberal worldview, these media outlets have perfected the art of distortion, and all the while masquerading as impartial news sources, everything that they were not. The left-wing media isn't in the business of delivering facts. They're all about telling lies and falsehoods and labeling those things that they don't like as misinformation and disinformation. They're in the business of pushing an agenda, one where truth is negotiable and integrity is optional. This past November 5th election wasn't just a victory or a loss. It was a signal that America is done with the legacy media. We've officially entered what many are now calling the podcast election. I don't know if you've heard that term, the podcast election, where the old guard of traditional media outlets, think CNN and MSNBC and others, the New York Times, have lost their monopoly on the truth. And that's a savage truth. Americans are waking up to the fact that for years, they've been spoon-fed a skewed version of reality packed with bias, packed with sensationalism, and an agenda-driven narratives. These legacy media outlets no longer care about informing the public. What they care about is shaping opinions and pushing their own political agenda. So it's no wonder It's no wonder that more and more Americans are turning into podcasts where the truth is less filtered and far less politically charged. Podcasts give the American people a chance to hear multiple viewpoints, listen to experts who aren't afraid to speak freely, and most importantly, find out what's really, truly going on in the world, in the community that you live in. In a time when news outlets have become little more than left-wing echo chambers, podcasts are the last bastion of honest discourse. Whether it's about independent journalists, former political insiders, or just regular folks with a microphone and some common sense, like me, podcasts have filled the gap left by a corrupt and compromised media. And I, for one, am honored to do it. People are sick and tired of hearing the same old talking points repeated by well-paid anchors with obvious biases. They want to hear the truth. They want a journalist that have integrity and character, no matter how uncomfortable it may be for the elites. Podcasts have given the American people their voices back, allowing them to bypass the propaganda and go straight to the source itself. It's clear. When truth is a commodity, podcasts are the new marketplace. And the election was just the latest reminder that people are in control. The people are in control, and they're back in control since November 5th. And they're getting their news on their terms, not through the filter of a media establishment that's lost completely its credibility. So what's the solution? What do we do from here? What do we do? How do we move forward? Well, we stop falling for the lies. Cancel your subscriptions, turn off your televisions, and stop giving these so-called journalists the time of day. They don't care about reporting the truth. They care about advancing their left-wing agenda and dragging down anyone who dares to stand in their way, particularly if that person happens to be Donald Trump. The more we support alternative media that upholds real journalistic standards, media that actually respects truth, integrity, and the core values of journalism, the more we strip the left-wing media of their power. And that's really important. Trump's victory wasn't just a win for him. It was a win for the millions of Americans who refused to buy into the biased narratives pushed by the media elite, which is why they voted the way they did on November 5th. So let's make sure their sore loser syndrome isn't rewarded. Shut them down with the power of informed choice. And that's a savage truth. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful. Hey, journalists, try this. Be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.